Good morning, everyone. Yeah, my name's Carolyn, and I'm reading today from 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 to 23. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ, the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him.
G'day, it's great to be here. I'm Dave, and I was here last year preaching in the last time we did this group series. And it's really special to be here again. My wife Maddie, she's up the back there, and we've got three kids enjoying the kids program right now. Well, who is Jesus to you? In the lead up to our series, that was the question we were tasked with asking our friends and colleagues and family. And so about a month ago now, I was catching up to meet with somebody. And so on my Uber ride there and back, I thought I'd ask the drivers the question, who is Jesus to you? One of the drivers, he was a Sikh. And he said that Jesus was that guy from the Bible, you know, just a story, he's not real. And then on the other end of the drive, it was a guy, he said he was a Christian. And he affirmed all the things that you'd expect a Christian to, like Jesus is the Son of God, things to that effect. But when this guy started telling me about his life, it was pretty clear that Jesus didn't make much impact. He was more busy with other things like work and building a house for him and his family. They had two very different views about who Jesus was, but I think the bottom line for both of them was the same. Jesus is nothing. Whether you believe in him or not, he makes no difference to life. What do you think about that? The bit of the Bible we just heard before, it makes a big deal of saying this. If you're convinced that Jesus did rise from the dead, then it should turn your life upside down. If you believe Jesus rose, then the headline for your life should be this. Jesus is everything. Jesus changes everything. He's significant for every part of your life now and into eternity. So is Jesus nothing or everything? It's the question we're wrestling with today. And to help us do this, we're going to dive into that passage we heard just before in 1 Corinthians 15. This was a letter written by a guy named Paul to a group of Christians in a place called Corinth. And it's probably about 20 years after Jesus died and rose again. It's that kind of time. And one of the things that Paul tells us in this passage is that if Jesus did not rise from the dead, then not only is Jesus irrelevant, but Christianity is a big hoax. Let's dive into our passage together and wrestle with this. So if you do have your Bibles, keep them open, and if you don't, listen carefully. Let's dive into God's word together. And as we do, it's worth noting that some of the people this letter was written to, they had this particular idea they were promoting amongst Christians. They were saying that those who believe in Jesus, they don't rise from the dead on the last day. Christians die, and that's it. Game over, nothing left. But Paul says, this makes no sense. Have a look at verse 12 with me. He says, but if it's preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? And then verse 13, he explains why this view is just so problematic. He says, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. What he's telling us here is that essential to the Christian belief is that Jesus really did rise from the dead. But if there's no resurrection, then Christianity, it pretty quickly unravels. I was on an online group chat recently, and one of the threads, it had this question posted. It said, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, would you still be a Christian? This is what one person said. Yes, I would, because his teachings alone are enough to warrant following. And another person, they essentially said this. It would be a nice bonus if Jesus rose, but it's not crucial to my faith. I would still be a Christian. Now, these answers, they might sound reasoned, almost noble, but they don't make a lot of sense. And actually, Paul tells us it's worse than just being illogical. Have a read of verse 17. He says, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. Paul almost sounds a bit harsh here. You know, if Jesus didn't rise, then your faith is, it's a waste of time, just move on. But that's how important the resurrection is for the Christian faith. During his time on earth, Jesus told his disciples, I'm going to die on the cross for sins, and 3 days later, I'm going to rise again. I'm going to rise again and never die again. That's what Jesus told his disciples. So if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, it doesn't leave us with a whole lot to put our trust in him, because he's either a crazy man or he's a con man. But either way, he's not someone you can build your life on. He's not trustworthy. And if that's the case, if Jesus didn't rise and you do trust in him, it's not just a foolish thing to do, it's a sad waste of life. As Paul says of Christians in verse 19, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. It's pretty rough. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, out of all people in the world, Christians are the most pitiful. A while ago, I used to work as a lawyer, and I remember the moment when I told my bosses and my peers that I was going to go into pastoral ministry. I was going to leave the profession to do that. And it was quite a strange moment for me, because when I told them, they were really happy for me. But here's the thing. They didn't believe Jesus rose from the dead. And if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, they shouldn't admire my gullibility. They should feel sorry for me, because I'm making these plans to waste my life on a lie. No one should waste their life on a lie. Has anyone here seen The Truman Show? Hands up if you have. Okay, there's a few people. I reckon I saw it in maybe year 10 or 11 English studies or something. Jim Carrey, he plays the main character, Truman. And Truman, he grows up in this picture-perfect town. He's got loving parents, a great wife. He's got lots of friends. But over time, Truman's world, it just begins to unravel bit by bit. Those loving friends, they start to feel a bit staged. They keep repeating the same routines and words over and over again each day. At one point, the son, it just kind of spontaneously drops from the sky. That's very unusual too. And then the more he wrestles with this, he eventually comes to realize the truth. Truman was born into a reality television show, and he's the main star. Now, if you haven't seen it, what do you think happens when Truman finds out that his whole life has been a lie? This is what happens. He says to himself, "Oh, well, you know, life is pretty nice. I've got a great wife, friends. Sure, they're all paid actors, but that doesn't matter. You know, life's good." You've seen it. You know, that's not what happens. Instead, once Truman realizes the truth, he does everything he can to bust out of that world. He overcomes every obstacle that comes his way. He, at one point, he sails over these rough seas, even though he's got this phobia of water, until eventually Truman hits the wall. Literally, he hits the edge of the set that's kind of painted like the sky. He finds a stairwell, goes up the stairwell, opens up the door, and embraces real life. Truman does everything he can to bust out of his fake world and embrace reality. Now, just for a moment, I'd love to speak to people who have been raised in Christian environments. If this is you, I want to say you still need to wrestle with the resurrection. Doesn't matter if you have loving parents, great mates, you know, you've had great experiences and you think Jesus' teaching are good for life. In the end, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, Christianity is a lie, it's a hoax. And no one should waste their life on a lie. And if you're someone else in the room here today, if you're someone who's still checking out Jesus but you're not sure, you can save some time. You can look into the resurrection. And if you conclude that Jesus didn't rise from the dead, you can move on. Because it would be pointless to take it any further. No one wants to waste their life on a lie. But can I also ask everyone, what would convince you Jesus rose from the dead? Coming back to our passage, we see that for Paul, the one writing the letter, he became totally convinced Jesus rose from the dead. In verse 20, hear these words, Paul says emphatically, "Christ has indeed been raised from the dead." It almost seems like an overstatement here. How can Paul be so confident this happened? And to understand this, we need to know a little bit more about Paul's life. Paul, he was someone who was as anti-Christian as they came. He attacked people for following Jesus. But he had a moment in his life that turned it upside down. Paul, he went from hating Jesus and persecuting his followers to being someone who gave up his life to tell people about Jesus. It's a dramatic transformation, isn't it? What happened to him to bring that about? It's the same experience a whole bunch of Jesus' disciples had as well. They went from doubting Jesus, even fleeing, abandoning Jesus when he was arrested and hung on the cross, because none of them thought he would rise again. They went from that to, like Paul, risking their lives to tell people about Jesus. And it's the same experience that converted James into a believer. And I find this extraordinary. I mean, think about it for a moment. James, he was one of Jesus' brothers. Mary was their mum. And before Jesus was killed, James, he doubted Jesus' claim that he was the savior of the world. And I don't blame him. I mean, can you? Who here has siblings? Show of hands. Okay, there's a few. Yep. I have two, Ben and Kate. I'm the youngest of three. And I have to say, it would take something extraordinary for me to believe they were the savior of the world. You know, like, extraordinary. And James did doubt it, and I don't blame him. But like Paul, like the other disciples, James went from being a doubter to being somebody who risked his life to follow Jesus and to tell people about Jesus. So what happened to all of these people? They all met the risen Jesus. And it turned their lives totally upside down. Now, if you do look into the resurrection and you come to the same conclusion that many others have over many years, that Jesus really did rise from the dead, there's a follow-up question that you need to ask. So what? You know, it's obviously an amazing event. People don't rise from the dead never to die again. That's not a normal experience. But what difference does it make to life? Is it just a bit like a spectator event? You know, a bit like you go to a footy match at Adelaide Oval. You know, you cheer, you boo, either your team wins or it loses, and you go away. And it doesn't really impact your life that much, unless maybe you're a poor loser or something like that. Is it a bit like that? Or does it actually change life? Jordan Peterson, you might have heard him. He's a Canadian psychologist and media commentator. And I was watching an interview that he had recently, and I found it really interesting. The reporter, he was a guy called Alex O'Connor, and Alex was asking him why Peterson tends to dodge the question about whether Jesus rose from the dead. You know, a lot of people ask Peterson, and he just kind of like dismisses it. He doesn't answer it. And so Alex asked him, he says, if you put a Panasonic camera in front of the tomb where Jesus was buried, 3 days later, would you see Jesus walking out of the tomb? And Peterson says, yes, I suspect you would. And so Alex, he's pretty frustrated by this point. He says, well then, why don't you just tell people when they ask, yes, I suspect Jesus rose from the dead? And Peterson says to him, because I have no idea what it means. Today in our passage, Paul says, not only has Jesus risen from the dead, because he's seen him, but also God's made the meaning clear for us today. And it's good news that transforms lives. And this is what we're going to spend the last bit of our time together looking into together. Firstly, if Jesus rose, it means we can be forgiven by God. Have a look with me at verse 17. Paul says this. He says, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. Recently, a friend shared with me how he still regrets how he bullied a kid in high school. He said to me, you know, I hope he's kind of moved on from that since. And it struck me decades later, he still holds on to that guilt and shame of what happened. Do you identify with that feeling ever? I know I do. We all have things in our past we regret and hold on to. You know, the things we should have done but didn't, the things we don't do but wish we did. And those twisted thoughts and feelings in the quiet of our heart. These are the kind of things that drive wedges in our relationships with people and ultimately with God. But what can we actually do about it? How do we deal with our mistakes? People try all sorts of stuff. You could go see a therapist. You could be a nicer person to make up for it. You could try and suppress it, act like it didn't happen. Like my friend, you could have wishful thinking. You know, maybe it's all sorted itself out. These things might help to a degree, but they don't deal with the problem. Instead, like sponges that have been dropped in a bucket of liquid, over time, we just fill up with more and more reasons to feel shame, and we become more weighed down. And what's more, God teaches us in the Bible that because he's loving and just, there is a final day where he'll hold everyone to account for these things. And that's the difference that the resurrection makes. It shows us that while we can't do anything to deal with this problem, God has. Jesus' death and resurrection, it's like a package deal. On the cross, Jesus says to us, if you trust in me, I have dealt with your sins once and for all. I've taken the punishment for them on the cross that you deserve, so you don't have to. And then the resurrection, it's like God's stamp of approval. And he says to us, this really happened. I really have done this for you. And what this means for us today is that if we trust in Jesus, it's like God takes that sponge that is your life, weighed down by sin and weighed down by guilt, and he just rinses it out entirely. He deals with the problem of sin and guilt. So you can be forgiven by him for everything. So you can enter into a loving relationship with him now. If Jesus rose, the good news today is that we can be forgiven by God. And then flowing out of this, it also means we can have hope beyond the grave. As the saying goes, there are two things that are guaranteed in life. There are death and... thank you. In reality, you can dodge taxes. You might go to jail, but you can try. But you can't avoid death. And it's what the Bible calls the curse of Adam. In the beginning, God made the world lovingly to be in relationship with him, with each other, and with this world. And because God is the source of life, as long as we were in relationship with him, we would live. But ever since Adam, the first man who lived on the earth, all people have rebelled against God. We've cut ourselves off from the source of life. And from that time on, there's been one common pathway for all people: life, death, and then a final judgment for our sins. And if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, nothing's changed. No forgiveness now, no hope when we die. We're all on this same downward trajectory of life. And as Paul tells us in verse 18, then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. Christians have no hope, just like everyone else. But if Jesus has risen, then not only can we return to God now and embrace relationship with him now, but there's something wonderful to come. Because just as Adam is the champion of death, Jesus is the champion of life. As Paul says in verse 22, for as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Without the resurrection, everyone follows that pathway of Adam: sin, death, judgment. But with the resurrection, Jesus unlocks a new future for us. He's the trailblazer who shows us what life can be. He shows us what we can be. As he's described in our passage in verse 20, Jesus is the first fruits. Take a look with me. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. What does it mean that Jesus in his resurrection is the first fruits? Imagine for a moment, you're a farmer of an apple orchard, and you're looking over your orchard in the early days of spring, and you can't wipe the smile off your face because you've seen that first juicy apple of the season, and you know what it means. You know that there's a bumper crop that are coming. Jesus' resurrection is like that first fruit. He's the first one out of the grave to raise bodily, never to die again. But he's also a signal to the world. It's a signal that there's a bumper crop of risen people to come. And this is the hope we have in Jesus. All who trust in him will rise to new life just like him, never to die again, never to have bodies that creak or break. And in the new creation, we'll be in a world no longer undermined by sin and death, in loving relationship with God, with each other, with the world, just like we were made to be. There are some things in life that make no difference to life. They're amazing, but they don't change anything. Neil Armstrong, he was the first man to walk on the moon, 1969. I wasn't there. I believe it happened. I don't believe it's impacted me that much. Maybe you can tell me why it has. There's probably are some kind of ways it's impacted, but not really. But it's not the same with the resurrection. If Jesus did rise, it changes everything. Jesus is where you find forgiveness. Jesus is where you find hope. And so the decision to trust him, it has significance for every part of your life now. Everything. So I want to ask, what do you think about Jesus' resurrection? Does it make a difference to your life? I'd love to tell you just briefly about a recent mission trip we went on to Roxby Downs. We took a group of youth from the four Trinity churches in the north. TK was one of them. It was great to have him in the team. And one of the things we did was we ran this week-long kids program so that kids could hear about Jesus. And on the last day of the program, the parents came along so they could check out what was going on. And it was great. There were these parents who were sharing how, like, because they're mostly not church families or anything. And the kids would come home and the dad would be, you know, coming off a night shift. And the kids would say, like, oh, Dad, did you know that God made everything and God made you? And the dad's like, what? You know, what's going on here? But anyway, these parents were coming and sharing those stories. And there were two parents in particular that shared stories like that. And so I asked both of them, would you be interested in looking into Jesus too? The first man, he seemed a little bit interested, but he also said he had other priorities, like, you know, it was like building the house and his career. And maybe that is your story today. You're kind of interested, but you also have other priorities. If that's you, can I ask you and urge you to reconsider? These claims about Jesus, they're too important to put off. There's too much at stake. As we spoke before, if you grew up in a Christian environment and Jesus didn't rise, then like in the Truman Show, you got to bust out of that lie to embrace reality. But the opposite is also true. If Jesus did rise, people who don't know Jesus are living that lie. And the only way you can bust out of that world and embrace real life is to come to know Jesus. And if you do want to look into Jesus, a great starting point would be to look at a gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. They're four accounts of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. There's some John's gospel on the table up the back. Scott tells me you're welcome to just take one on your way out or take one of the Bibles too. There's also ways you can look into the historical account of Jesus. There's plenty of books that look into weighing up the evidence of did it happen and what does it mean for life. Lee Strobel, he's a great book. He does it really well, and I can recommend that. But whatever it is, don't put it off. And if you conclude Jesus didn't rise, you can move on. But if Jesus did rise, it's such good news, and you don't want to miss it. Do you want to look into Jesus? Maybe you have a different answer to that question. Maybe your answer is, I don't need to, I already believe in him. But could it be actually more like that Uber driver that I was chatting to at the start? You know, you say you're a Christian, but actually it doesn't make that much difference to life. If that's you, can I just encourage you to look into it again and ask the question, what difference does that make to life now? Because it makes a lot of difference. Well, coming back to the holiday program, that was the first guy I spoke to. There's also another woman I asked the question to. And maybe your answer is a bit more like hers. When I asked, do you want to look into Jesus? She looked me in the eye and she said, I really do. At that point, I had to run a kids program, so I didn't get to have a proper chat with her. So I gave her a gospel and connected her in with another Christian. And it meant I didn't actually ever get to know what brought her to that point. But I could take some guesses based on the other people our team met during the week. Maybe she was like that other parent. You know, she'd invested in career and building a home. But unlike him, she'd come to realize those things didn't satisfy like she wanted them to. Maybe she was like another woman we met during the week who grew up an atheist. For her, family was everything. But when her marriage blew up, the dream collapsed. Or maybe she was like another man we met during the week. He was adopted and he grew up just wanting to belong, but always feeling forgotten, like no one cared for him. All these people, they were hungry for more. And they tried to satisfy their longing with a whole bunch of things, and none of them worked. But those last three stories also have one more thing in common. Their search is now over because they met Jesus and he's all they ever need. In Jesus, they know they're forgiven, loved, and restored to God now, and they have the hope of being with him for eternity. Do you want to look into Jesus? As you can probably tell, my hope and prayer today is the answer is, I really do. That if you're a follower of Jesus, you want to keep looking into Jesus, keep diving deeper and being blown away by how amazing he is. But also, if you're not yet a follower of Jesus, that you might be someone who really does want to check him out, maybe for the first time. And if that's you, we'd love to help you with this. I'd love to chat with you afterwards. I know Scott would on any given Sunday, and Jacob and Dave would too. The mappers here. Also, if you have a Christian mate, talk to them about it. Please come along to the Life course that's coming up on Tuesday, where you can look into Jesus and ask all your questions. And on your way out, pick up a gospel. Meet Jesus for yourself. Jesus is risen, and it changes everything. Shall we pray together? Let's pray. Loving Father, we thank you for Jesus, that in him we can be forgiven, loved, and restored to you now with the wonderful hope of eternity with you. Thank you that all this has been made possible through Jesus' death and resurrection. And no matter where we're up to today in our walk with Jesus, please help us to more deeply grasp the difference the resurrection makes, that it might shape every part of our life now for the better. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.